This is the Ending Human Trafficking Locally and Globally podcast. Not only will you learn more about the subject pertaining to the topic of human trafficking, but you'll also find out ways that you can take action against it.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ending Human Trafficking Locally and Globally. I'm your host, Hannah Cody. For decades, UNICEF has been the driving force behind the movement of children helping children. While Trick or Treat for UNICEF is the most iconic example of this, there are many things that young people can do to promote children's rights around the world. January, as many of our listeners are already aware, is UNICEF USA's End Trafficking Month. And today, we'll be kicking off the month of January by talking about what students in particular can do, both today and throughout the year, to end child trafficking domestically and abroad. I'm joined today by three excellent panelists who are going to give us their tips, tricks, and insights on how students can get involved to end trafficking throughout January. But before we get started, I'll have our guests introduce themselves and tell us how they became involved in anti-trafficking work. Marissa, let's start with you.
So my name is Marissa Crook. I was born and raised in Reno, Nevada, and I'm about to graduate from the University of Nevada, Reno. Before I started attending Nevada in high school, I intended to pursue a STEM career. However, that changed when I got involved with a speech and debate club. A lot of my speech and debate topics ended up revolving around social justice issues. And one day my debate coach pulled me aside and said, Marissa, I think you should really look into the issue of human trafficking. So I went home, typed human trafficking into the Google search bar, and was really disturbed by what I saw and immediately knew I wanted to be involved somehow. So I wrestled for a while with continuing to go into STEM and ultimately decided to major in political science at Nevada. And when I started attending, that's when my involvement with human trafficking, anti-human trafficking efforts really started. I started a club, met with professors to learn what I could, got involved with a local anti-sex trafficking nonprofit, and ultimately ended up working with a local legislator to write legislation on how to combat sex trafficking in Nevada. So it was kind of a journey, but that's how I ended up getting involved with anti-trafficking work.
Hi, so my name is Monica Olvera, and I am a national council member for UNICEF USA. So there are 13 of us around the country, and we essentially take on a leadership role in this regard, and we are called to advocate on certain issues, and so we represent a lot of clubs around the country. So I started a UNICEF club last fall, and since then I've interned at the office, and so trafficking has been an issue that I've worked very closely with on a campus level and also a national council level. So on my specific campus, we've organized a series of campaigns for that with the residential halls, and that is where my main focus has been.
So I'm William Janis. I'm an adjunct professor at Fordham Law School, and I teach classes on capital markets and corporate governance. The curriculum that I cover incorporates environmental, social, and governance issues with respect to investing, corporate social responsibility, and socially responsible and impact investing, which covers, to some extent, human rights and human trafficking. I got more directly involved in human trafficking through my participation in the committee to stop trafficking in person through my affiliation with my church, and through a committee member from my church.
Excellent. Thank you all so much for that introduction. So to kick us off, I'm going to pose this first question to Marissa. Marissa, you've been involved in a variety of local anti-trafficking efforts in your community in Reno, as you just mentioned. So for a student who is just learning about trafficking or is curious about getting more engaged, what would you recommend as first steps to getting involved?
That's a great question. And that's definitely what I was wondering when I started attending Nevada. I would say the first three steps that I would recommend to get involved would first be to educate yourself on what trafficking is in general, educate yourself on what the community is doing, and then find like-minded students to join you in fighting human trafficking. So first, educating yourself, I found a really effective way was writing papers on the issue of trafficking whenever I could. I could work with whoever was teaching the class, whether it was a psychology class or the politics of labor rights or history of literature. And working with them to write my paper on human trafficking was a really neat way that didn't require too much extra time to learn about what human trafficking was. My second suggestion, learning what your community is doing, I would recommend finding if there's nonprofits, if there's policy groups, legislators, who's passionate about it and who's fighting it in your community, and attend those events, talk to them. I was really surprised to find that the community response in Reno was really broad in some ways, and in other ways, it was there were holes that were able to be filled by some of my friends and I, which was really neat to be a part of. And then the third step that I would recommend would be to try to find similar students who are also passionate about it. You could talk to clubs who deal with similar topics. For example, on our campus, we had an international human rights club. There were plenty of like-minded students on campus. Once I found some, we tried to find others. We hosted a documentary screening. We got a mattress and put it up in the student plaza in front of the student union with statistics on it about trafficking internationally, nationally, and locally. And that was really effective to find other students who are passionate about it as well. Ultimately, I think the importance of just educating your peers is so huge because, according to the Emergency Nurses Association, 87.8% of survey trafficking survivors encountered a healthcare professional while they were being trafficked and went unidentified. And so all of those nursing students or pre-med students on your campus, if they know what human trafficking is, we can be a part of just ensuring that professionals who graduate from our universities are looking for and can identify these victims. Going back again, the first three steps that were really helpful for me was like educating myself through class papers, finding out, going to local events to find out what my community was doing, and then lastly, just talking to similar students and trying to find other people to join me in trying to address this issue.
Thanks so much, Marissa, for that advice and those powerful statistics. So Monica, since trafficking is a complex and sensitive issue, I sometimes find that students are hesitant to talk about it or really aren't sure how to discuss it with their peers. What tips and pointers would you give to a college student about how to talk about human trafficking with their peers and professors?
This is something that we've really struggled with a lot at Fordham, and for the same reasons that you've mentioned, just that it's a sensitive topic and it's very complex, so students are kind of hesitant sometimes to dive into it. So we really noticed early on it was an important issue that was worth talking about and worth advocating about. And so we had to be very cautious of who our audience was and how to make this issue very relevant and personal for them. So we did a human trafficking campaign, which I'll talk about a little bit more later. But essentially, we went to residence halls and we were sharing stories about actual people who were, you know, college age and had gone through these experiences. And I think those one-on-one interactions and just hearing stories on a more personal level, that was what really got people thinking. And we also incorporated a more fun and sort of interactive component, which is the slavery footprint quiz. And this essentially gives students the opportunity to fill out an online 10-minute quiz. And so they put their preferences and their consumer habits in this quiz, and that gives them an idea of how their consumer habits are impacting human trafficking. So that was a very eye-opening opportunity for our students, and they really loved that.
Thanks for that, Monica, and for highlighting that really excellent slavery footprint resource. So finally, Mr. Janis, as a professor, how do you think that students are uniquely equipped to combat human trafficking? And what can their professors do to not only support students, but get engaged themselves?
Today, never before, students have the ability to help end human trafficking. There is a tremendous opportunity to learn about trafficking and human rights in the curriculum today in undergraduate, graduate, and law schools through the various courses that are offered that deal with topics such as corporate social responsibility, socially responsible investing, impact investing, and human rights generally. Given the work that the NGOs, the UN governments such as the UK with its Modern Slavery Act, the investment community, various other private sector initiatives, this problem is receiving more transparency and coverage than ever. Besides the work of UNICEF, there is this new environmental, social governance, investing, and accountability ecosystem, evolving, which is going to raise further awareness and opportunity for students to get involved in as engaged investors. An example, as of 2016, there are ESG-focused strategies representing about $8 trillion in assets under management out of $40.3 trillion professionally managed assets in the United States. There are approximately 500 of these environmental, social, governance mutual funds, and they total $1.72 trillion in assets. Students can engage not only with their faculty and administration to integrate these concepts of corporate social responsibility, environmental and social governance into their curriculum. They could also work to sponsor symposiums and conferences on these topics. They could engage with their financial advisors. They could ask their parents to engage with their financial advisors to see the extent to which they invest in these products. I think on a macro level, what's very vital, and where students can certainly participate and make a difference as well as faculty, you have the UN's Principles for Responsible Investing, which has one of its core principles, human rights. Plus, you have the Task Force on Climate-Related Disclosure that's dealing with climate-related financial risk. I think it's important to note that people that are trafficked, some of them are climate refugees. So climate change is something that is exacerbating the situation, is generating a lot of money, and it's something that the private sector investment community with engaged student investors can really make a difference.
Thank you so much, Professor Janice, for sharing that financial perspective on the issue with us. So as I mentioned earlier, January is UNICEF USA's End Trafficking Month, and I imagine some of our listeners may be asking what they can do to raise awareness around child trafficking. Now, we've already heard some amazing ideas about activities and experiences from our panelists, but I'll just open the floor to one last opportunity to not only share some ideas for things that students can do this upcoming month, but also pose if they have any ideas they would like to share for everyday changes that our listeners can implement into their lives to help end trafficking year-round. Marissa, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's so many ways that we as students can get involved. It's really awesome to have seen the impact that my friends and I have been able to make in our local community and on Nevada's campus. One easy way, just as an individual, is there's a fair trade difference pledge where you pledge to, whenever possible, buy fair trade products. Fair trade products are super cool. Basically, products can be fair trade certified, and if they're fair trade certified, there's six criteria. First is that there's a price floor on the product, meaning that anything priced below that floor, it's really not possible for them to be ethically made. The second is that there's a fair trade premium. It's usually about 20% of the cost of that product will go back into the community to provide education and different resources to the community, which is I absolutely love. Thirdly, stability and access to credit for workers. Fourth, good working conditions. Fifth, institutional structure, so like the ability to organize as workers. And then sixth is environmental protection. So as you can see, like, these products are really cool and you can make a big impact in improving the labor conditions in other communities through the products that you buy. Another thing you can do is just kick off getting involved in your community and on campus. Volunteering is a great way. There's a local nonprofit, as I've mentioned, that fights sex trafficking in Reno. We've done volunteer days, making Christmas gifts, baking, making jewelry, just to have a fun environment for local survivors to be a part of. We also started a scholarship fund for local survivors, so we would sell burgers around campus. Our club's abbreviation is SASS, so we called them Sassy Burgers, and we would make some pretty bomb sassy sauce to go with it to raise money for scholarships, which we've had a blast doing whenever we've done it. If you're more of a policy kind of research person, we've gotten involved with local legislation. You can just go find out what's happening and testify for bills or resolutions that you think are positive or negative, how they impact trafficking. And then lastly, another thing my club did is hosted a Shut Out Trafficking Conference. It was super cool. We worked with athletics to raise awareness about human trafficking, hosted a keynote, a local panel, had a fair trade fair. so many awesome events, and it was really cool because we had some great support from the UNICEF USA's and trafficking team as well as NCIS. They were amazing. And so if you want to get involved, make a difference, and do it in a way with support from another organization, that's an awesome option that I would highly recommend. So again, ways to just start getting involved, sign the Fair Trade Pledge, start trying to figure out how you can use your consumer power to make a difference. Raise awareness on your campus through social media. You could do like a selfie contest, whatever you want to do, and then just get involved. Volunteering, whatever you want to do with your community to make a difference. There's so many options.
So there's definitely a lot of opportunity in my experience for students to program around this month, particularly for student leaders, because you have the opportunity to work with your school in order to program at a larger level. So I'll talk about a few things that we've done at Fordham, and hopefully those serve as good examples for listeners. So one of the things that I mentioned that we do is that we go to residence halls and we have students learn a little bit about human trafficking and what that means, and we share those personal stories, and we pair that with the slavery footprint quiz, which is on slaveryfootprint.org. And that is something that I really recommend, even, you know, on a personal level for anybody who's listening to do, because it really makes you think a lot about the things that you own and the things that you use on an everyday basis and how those kind of affect your life and those of others. So that's a really great way to do it. A second thing that I would recommend is, you know, to take the more educational route and maybe host a documentary screening of Not My Life. And that's something that we did last year, and it was very successful. And actually, the UNICEF and trafficking team can provide that for any UNICEF-affiliated club or organization, so that is a very great resource to tap into. And that's always a very fun thing for students, especially on the university level, because you'll have a huge turnout, you know, students who are human rights majors or just in general very interested in this subject. So I would recommend doing that. Free food is always a good hit. And last of all, we program a lot around makeup. So that is, you know, a product that is very highly linked back to child labor and to human trafficking. So we host a lot of programs in residence halls where we kind of talk about, you know, where this connection is results in the world and, you know, how this is a problem. And then we have a lot of resident assistants come in and they provide a raffle. So we do like Lush products because Lush is fair trade. And so that's a very huge deal for a lot of residents. They love the company. But as Marissa mentioned earlier, I think it's important to take into account just how critical it is to make important and very meaningful and intentional consumer choices. So I would definitely recommend that as a day-to-day change that listeners can make.
In addition to the slavery footprint quiz, which I think is invaluable, I would say that students and people should be cognizant when they use services. Look out for red flags. If you're going into a store or someone is providing services, I was thinking that the classic example of manicure, where someone is being paid a low wage for a manicure that you figure based upon the amount of time and service should be much higher, that's a potential red flag. Maybe that is someone that is being trafficked. I think it's very important to look for red flags. I think it's also important to connect the dots. So as I mentioned previously, being environmentally conscious and the idea of not wasting resources here, because water and things and resources like that that are wasted are causing climate refugees domestically and abroad. And these are people that are very, very vulnerable to trafficking. Educate yourself further. I would recommend to students that they look at the Interfaith Center of Corporate Responsibility, its website, which is very robust on human trafficking. I think that would be a very, very good first step.
Thank you so much for all of your invaluable insights and for ideas on activities ranging all the way from quizzes and movie screenings to ways to use your wallet to influence the world. Hopefully, to our listeners, you're feeling a little bit more confident and have a lot of great ideas and ways to get started to end trafficking this month. However, I definitely would encourage all of you, if you need a little bit more guidance or want to even see some of these ideas in writing, visit www.unicefusa.org/endtrafficking. There we have tons of great resources and guidance on how to implement some of these activities, including the Not My Life screening. Regardless of the activity that you choose, We ask you to do two things. First, register your event at the fundraising and event application form on the UNICEF USA website. That way we can provide you with all of the support and resources that you may need. Additionally, we would ask you to share with us what you're doing. All you have to do is tag us on Twitter or Instagram at ndtraffic, that's ndtraffic, or tagging us at ndtrafficking on Facebook. These are all super simple ways so we can keep in touch and share with the rest of our community about what amazing listeners like you are doing to end trafficking today and beyond. Thank you for listening.
For more information, check out unicefusa.org/endtrafficking.